Dr. McCullough, if you could please give your comment about the topic, about vaccinating children specifically, if you could give your angle.
Well, thanks for that introduction, and thanks to each and every one of you. Just as an update, I'm an internist, cardiologist, and professor of medicine here in Dallas. The last year, I've been completely focused on COVID-19. I have 47 peer-reviewed papers in COVID-19. I've published the two sets of most widely used protocols on how to treat COVID-19 to prevent hospitalization and death. And as we sit here today, the biggest determinant of severe disease is whether or not someone got early treatment, not the natural history of the virus. It's all about who gets early treatment. So we cannot draw conclusions, at least I can't, about severe disease and give any attribution to the vaccine. It's all about who gets the early treatment. What we know about the currently available vaccines, that they are messenger RNA or they are adenoviral DNA vaccines, the ones that are interest to people on the call, these are considered by the FDA gene transfer technologies. These are genetic transfer platforms that we understand now have an effect in the body, at least for 2 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, maybe longer. So they have a long duration of action. They cause the body to produce the original Wuhan spike protein from the virus. They actually trick the body's cells to produce the spike protein. Apparently, in some people, in large quantities, this injures local tissues. The spike protein is expressed on the cell surface. It injures the cells and the tissues where it is produced, and it circulates freely in the body at least for 2 weeks before a second injection, and then the circulating spike protein reduces in quantity. We think the tissue expression continues. Now, in the United States, we've had half the country receive these vaccines. The vast majority of people have had some minimal side effects, and they have not had any problems, the vast majority. However, in the United States, we've had a very disturbing sets of development. Our government has not had a single press briefing or report on safety. We are 7 months into the program, and this is a widely utilized product. It's a promoted product, but there's no information on safety given to the public. This is unprecedented. We have safety information given on household products. We have safety information given on electronics. This is unprecedented that we would ask any large mass of people to accept a biologic product without giving any safety information. It is absolutely astounding. We have greatly concerned individuals in the U.S. Senate and other governmental agencies and the press on this issue of a lack of transparency on safety. Last week, a federal lawsuit was filed because in the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services database, there are over 45,000 individuals who have died after the vaccine. This is unprecedented. The most any number of patients that have ever died after any single vaccine is 25. The most that ever come into a database in a single year with 500 million shots is 158 deaths. So to have over 45,000 deaths recorded in the Center for Medicaid, Medicaid Services is unprecedented. The Centers for Disease Control itself has verified 11,000 deaths. And we know many deaths are not reported to the CDC, but the immediate mortality rate is astounding. There are now independent analyses, one by Rose in Israel using the US data, and one by McLachlan in London, showing that 48% of the deaths have occurred with, or 50% of the deaths have occurred within 48 hours, and 80% of the deaths have occurred within a week. 86% of these deaths have no other explanation. Now, the vast majority of deaths have occurred in people in their 70s or 80s. But tragically, we've already had 15 children under the age of 18 die after the vaccine. Now, these were ostensibly healthy individuals who died. And 79 individuals under age 30 die after the vaccine. The U.S. FDA has warnings, official warnings out on Pfizer and Moderna for myocarditis or heart inflammation in people under age 30. The CDC has already verified 2,000 cases of myocarditis. The FDA also has warnings out for Johnson & Johnson vaccine for blood clots in women ages 18 to 48, as well as neurologic injury syndrome called Guillain-Barré syndrome. On May 27th, Frank et al. Published the Pfizer data in children aged 12 to 15. This was a randomized trial of 2,300 children, and they half received the Pfizer vaccine, half received placebo. The Pfizer vaccine resulted in avoiding 18 cases of COVID-19, which were very mild. They were like having a cold or an upper respiratory tract infection. There was no mention of reduction of spread of disease. There's no mention, there was no benefit on severe disease. There was an antibody rise, but in about 60 to 80% of the children became sick, developed fever, body aches, muscle aches, and about 20 to 30% of them had to take time off of school. So the vaccine had an immediate effect. It's my interpretation at this point in time, and I am in line with the evidence-based consulting group in England, which is the principal consultant to the World Health Organization, that the vaccines are at this point in time considered unsafe for human use in any age category. The evidence-based consulting group has recommended to the MHRA to remove public use. There is a manuscript from Bruno and colleagues with 57 authors, 17 different countries that have advised all the countries that if they can't have data safety monitoring boards, clinical event adjudication committees, and human ethics boards review the safety data, if they won't do this, that these drugs should be removed from the market. We have physician petitions in and nursing petitions in to the US FDA to not fully approve these agents because there's been no reporting and transparency on safety. So to finish and conclude, I do not believe these products are safe for human use. I am not convinced that they have any impact in preventing the development of COVID-19 that's of clinical significance. We have data from the Ministry of Israel dated July 17th, that of individuals ages 20 and above, where 80% of the population has been vaccinated, there are 80% of the COVID-19 cases are in the vaccinated group. And so from that analysis, it appears as if the vaccine is doing nothing with respect to the current variant, which is known to be the Delta variant. In the United States, we have 83% of our cases are the Delta variant. And so at least the Pfizer vaccine, which Pfizer vaccine produces the fewest number of antigenic targets for antibody formation, it appears as if the Pfizer vaccine at this point in time is obsolete and is not having a protective effect. We know that Israel's current number of cases is about 20% of its peak. That was back in January of this year. So we're having a low rise in Delta. It does not appear to be impacted by the vaccine whatsoever. And we have multiple sources of evidence that the vaccine is allowing transmission of the virus. There was a wedding in Houston, Texas, where everyone was vaccinated and multiple people came away from the wedding with the virus. We've had a plane trip of Democratic lawmakers from Texas to Washington. They appear to transmit the virus to each other and then develop COVID. There is a naval vessel of 3,700 sailors who went out fully vaccinated. They made some stops, but it looks like 100 developed COVID. And now we have a paper from Fahrenholt and colleagues in Baylor College of Medicine clearly demonstrating that those who are vaccinated can actually get COVID-19 and then pass it to other people who are vaccinated and they can develop the illness. So at this point in time, my analysis is the vaccines are unsafe for human use and they are ineffective. And so at this point in time, there would be absolutely no reason under any conditions to vaccinate children with the current sets of COVID-19 vaccines.
Thank you very much, Dr. Peter Mkola. So now I address the bed then if they have any question to Dr. Peter.
Makers testing came in very clear, and the delivery was 100% excellent. I appreciate your time and your effort. So if I would like to just take all your words and regarding to our present case, our present issue is regarding to the younger crowd and the ages specifically of 12 and under. You spoke, whatever the professor spoke about is regarding to the entire vaccine. And so I presume you're talking specifically regarding to the vaccine of COVID, or you have issues with other vaccinations?
No, I don't have any issues with the evidence-based vaccines. My children have received the full schedule of vaccines. I've received the full schedule of vaccines. I've traveled to India. I've been to Israel several times myself. I can tell you, I personally, I'm 58 years old. I have asthma and I have blockages in my arteries. I had COVID-19 myself with a much more severe strain than Delta. And I can tell you, knowing what I know now, I would never take the vaccine. I would never take the vaccine. The vaccine injuries, we can't treat. They appear to be irreversible. We have 400,000 certified vaccine injuries in the United States. And Rose and colleagues from Israel published, they tend to skew towards younger people. They're neurologic injury, they are cardiac injury, immunologic and hematologic. We have no information about growth and development in giving these vaccines to children. We have no information. It would be unethical to ever inject a young individual with an unproven, unsafe vaccine with no information on growth and development. It's unethical, it's immoral to do that.
And what would the approach of the professor would be regarding to high risk?
High risk individuals can be treated with sequenced multi-drug therapy. I've never been aware of a single child who developed severe disease that couldn't be easily treated. And we use a variety of different medications. I'm in close communication with pediatricians all over the country. And even a child with cystic fibrosis or adult congenital heart disease or a cerebral palsy or some other condition can easily be treatable with available drugs. We should never expose these children to experimental gene transfer, dangerous mechanism of action, biologic products that have no proven safety in this group.
Very clear, very definite. I appreciate it.
One question I'd like to know. You mentioned a study of Frank et al. Of 2,300 young adults, and that study was Pfizer's. Pfizer gave out that study.
Yeah, that's the Pfizer. Themselves,
this is a study.
Yeah, just to be clear, that's Pfizer's the Pfizer. That's the Pfizer registrational trials published in New England Journal of Medicine, May 27th. Keep in mind that the US FDA approved the Pfizer vaccine for that group before the release of that paper. They approved the vaccine on May 10th with only the information on the antibodies. So our US FDA in their approval letter did not consider any safety information. That's unprecedented that our US FDA would not safeguard children and carefully review safety. It's unprecedented, and it's a form of agency malfeasance that is wrongdoing by those in position of authority.
So what's your opinion? Where are the whistleblowers on Capitol Hill?
We have a variety of whistleblowers. The federal lawsuit filed last week was probably the very strongest strike as a whistleblower attempt, but we have a very broad malfeasance. We have a unification of doctors groups, the media, the FDA, the CDC, the NIH. None of them are presenting or reviewing safety whatsoever, none of them. And there's no presentation of safety to the public, none.